do anything here.
The projected cost, if for them to replace the tennis courts, I believe, is $16,000. So he did not have a particular requested amount. He was simply posing the question: would there be an opportunity to offset the? Yeah, that was the nature of the request, Steve. So the question is, to the board, is would the board be willing to consider blank, and it was left open as a blank request toward the resurfacing of the courts? And I told him I would call him back and let him know about the board's feelings on that.
So I take it as a consensus we're in agreement that we could possibly do something with the town.
As a package. Well, because the field's also
under rental.
Under lease rental agreement. Because they're saying right now we're not allowed to put money into them because right. They're not ours. Because they don't want to put any money in the field. So if we could do something with the fields in conjunction with that, well, then we're more interested because it addresses our need of fields that aren't getting fixed.
Now, if they do the tennis courts, they would also not just pave them, but don't they put like a green paint or a finish on them, or is it just a black
special
and line? Yeah. It's a special surface they use. Yeah. Right?
If we make a contingent on the other, then yes. it would have to be a joiner to the original contract.
Right.
It wouldn't be a separate thing that had to be joined.
It had to be a combined.
And it doesn't mean we have to pay the whole $16,000 either.
Yeah, but when you start putting money in the fields, it can add up real quick.
I think the main problem with the fields would be some fill and somebody that knows what they're doing
right.
as far as
regrading it,
distributed, grading it, putting the proper type of fill maybe in the infield. In the soccer field, I think it's just fill and leveling it, getting it graded the proper way. And getting some grass.
So it's a win-win for them. Any money that we're willing to give them to do fields is a win.
I'm not a tennis expert, but first of all, if we're going to start talking about a whole rental perspective, then now it's kind of open to whatever other options there are, whether indoor or outdoor. And maybe the tennis coach might have some input on, well, if we're going to do a rental and we're looking at other options in general that might be more cost-effective, then is that the best venue at the best value? Or are there other indoor places around here?
No.
Or Plastic State? Or
well,
there's only one indoor, actually, and that's over on Margaret Street.
It's two courts.
They're never going to put that
two courts, and we'd never be able to afford to rent them.
We actually play our matches down in the city.
On the college.
No, I understand.
This is for
practice. I'm just opening the door. If we're looking at rental, are there other options?
I think the cost savings there is from having to bus kids to the city every day.
Okay.
Well, practice.
To me, if it was just up to the courts themselves without the other issue, it would have been better for us to put them on here if we're going to pay for them anyway. They'd be ours. But combined with the fields, then I'll look at that, because if we're going to pay for them anyway, we might as well put them on our own field.
Yes,
we don't have the acreage.
I know we'd have room for
goals. We don't have the green space.
But I would say no, but because
really,
yeah. Well, until they get the wetland thing figured out. But I mean, as a package, it's more interesting. So we can address our other needs at the same time.
Yeah, we're not allowed to build any more facilities on our properties because of. We have enough facilities. That's the dormitory.
No more green space.
Well, we got to get that wetland's got to get straightened out.
Yeah.
If the direction with the town is to think about rental, I would pull Mr. Lavarendo in as a school attorney and in on how would you package, quote unquote, the agreement, because. There's been no money mentioned yet, and there certainly has been nothing mentioned on the topics you're talking about.
As a suggestion, though, I mean, if they're looking for money up front, then you don't want to rent, but you pay so much a year, they're going to want the money to do something. So it would mean if we would do a rental, say we would do a rental here, and it would have to say, this would be for 5 years, 6 years.
Right.
So that the years that we're not doing something, they don't get used to just us having to pay to use their facilities.
Well, that's why I want Joe in on it. Their request was specific to an amount for a specific single event.
Plus, it also follows the...
The suggestion of the rental was offered as a way to allow the districts funds to a town site to be used. Have them say, you're renting our facility, now you can do it as a board. Now, if it's going to involve, you know, other things with the fields, et cetera, that may be a second agreement or a codicil,
joint,
if you will,
yeah,
to the original. But their request right now is limited to a single event one time.
Plus, it's all state wants you to do as many combination things as you can with the local municipality, so it falls into that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's working in conjunction, so. Because we definitely have to do something about our fields, though, sooner or later. I'm built on our fields, but we use them.
We
have to do something.
Could I just ask a question when it's proper?
Yes. Go ahead.
I'm not opposed to this at all. I just ask a question whether we would pay the total amount, for example, using the tennis courts as an example, as a district, or would the town put a little bit in, because I assume some of the children are probably town of Beatman Town children.
That's the negotiation.
That's the negotiated piece.
We're not saying we're to pay for it all. We're just saying that we'll negotiate.
I think to answer that, Mrs. Armstrong, I would make that point to whatever their offer is for the, or their, actually their request for the compensation amount. That so far that amount hasn't been shared. They simply indicated that's the total cost and can the district help with it. So the next round of conversations will be, well, what level of help were you thinking of? And that answer will be somewhat dependent upon what other things could you do, such as the fields, which were not a part of the original conversation.
Okay, thank you.
You bet. Good on that topic. I have one more quick one.
Yes.
Last item, there was a question, I believe last board meeting, relative to using the district for a Red Cross designated shelter. In doing a little bit of research, we discovered we have had that arrangement in the past. We found a document that actually we designated it back in, didn't have a date on it, but we did designate it as a Red Cross shelter already with terms and conditions. So long, a short answer to the simple question, Steve, is I think we can use the district facilities as a Red Cross shelter. There are some standard items that the Red Cross would be honoring in doing so, making sure they have their liability coverage, et cetera. But beyond that, it's a function that has been done before and is apparently permissible to do. So it's a follow-up on that question. And that's it in my report.
Would you recommend that we use the same agreement or modify it?
I would recommend turning it back to Mr. Lavarendo to review it to be sure that there
it's
isn't
a,
anything
it's
major.
Standard,
it's pretty standard, though.
It's a standard yearly agreement that they send and ask you to sign.
Yeah, that's what it is, a standard agreement. But
and actually, I'm not sure if it was...
It's 07. It was dated 07.
Yeah, that might have been the West Shays email.
I don't think so, Steve. I think we talked about that.
Well, the West Shays
email. We were able to switch it
the over. West Shays email.
I'm still signing the
yeah, papers. I know. I don't think it got carried any further because we brought that up in operations back at that time.
Yeah, I remember that.
The West Jay-Z one was for the post office in case of emergency.
Yes.
You relocate there in case they looking couldn't
for use the
their
fine print, Steve.
It doesn't really matter.
I can't see
not,
that it designates
it's
it.
It's not really, it doesn't really have any significance.
Well, we seem to have plenty of disasters lately, so they're only going up. So we got to put them someplace if it happens.
As long as I can direct them here.
Name and address of the shelter. It's listed on this agreement as the Beatman Town Central School and its address.
That's
so
fine. And so you really shouldn't have to do too much.
Don't think so.
Just one question. Say we did have a disaster and they moved bodies in here, you know, over an extended period of time. Now, who's responsible for, like, beds or whatever like that? Is that something red? They do all that? Okay.
It's all stockpiled.
We just provide space.
Bring cots up.
It's basically making this space available at a relatively short order notice,
right. Yeah.
And then maintaining to the best of the school's ability that you know the lights are going to stay on and the services of water, if they're still available, are going to be provided, that type of thing.
But we don't have to have any kind of action plan for the cafeteria or anything like that, for food or anything to feed people, or
no,
they set all that up when they come in?
They're supposed to do that.
Okay.
Right.
It'll all be volunteers. It'll more than likely still be done. Mostly the fire department will be doing it, but
yeah,
it's just a place.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
Mr. Kleinzer.
I just have one item to report on tonight. We've been notified by the Office of the State Comptroller that we've been selected for another round of a site visit. It's not an audit, but it's a on-site risk assessment. And I spoke to the Glens Falls office today. Actually, some of you may remember Gary Gifford that came. Mm-hmm. He's now at the Glens Falls office and the one who sent the letter to notify us of the audit of the on-site risk assessment. Pardon me. This is a new round of site visitations that will be looking primarily at potential cost-saving measures and revenue enhancement opportunities that the comptroller is going to be suggesting. They'll also look at internal controls with kind of a specific focus on IT. To their estimate, it could be 3 to 4 weeks out, but they didn't commit to when they're going to come visit. What we'll do is we'll get a phone call that will say, we expect to come to the site at such and such time, at which case they'll want to do some sort of initial interview process with superintendent, myself, and then possibly the audit committee or representatives from the board.
IT.
Information technology. Computers.
So the three of them are revenue enhancement stream.
Revenue enhancement opportunities, cost saving opportunities,
and IT.
Internal control.
Because that's what they said. Now, translate what you think that really means.
They liked you so much the first time they want to come back.
Because revenue enhancement.
Well, that's what the letter says.
Right. What do you think it really means?
I think they're going to look at, I don't know that I can, I'm prepared to answer what they're,
I understand.
Indicated to be, but. From what I've read in other audits throughout the state that they're doing in different governments, they're looking at different ways to help. What's the word I'm looking for? To help offer suggestions for how to save money by looking at different internal systems, and that'll be the cost saving part. Revenue enhancement, I don't know what.
I can figure the cost saving one.
And then the internal controls is obviously control on assets of computers, inventory tracking, probably focus on some computer user capabilities like what access people have to different programs.
I wonder what that's for, though.
I know that this has been an enhancement of the last 5 years of audits when they came out and did actual district audits. As the audit process began and kind of morphed into a different process, they began to fine-tune their audit into certain areas. One of those was computer controls.
Okay. So it has nothing to do with the IT for the schools as much as it is for the administrative?
I don't think it's IT capacity as much as it's security measures of IT permissions and computer inventory controls. You know, where your computers are, if they're tagged, and if they're valued.
Wasn't that one of the issues that was brought up from our last audit?
We did. We had a random sample. We had a series of computers that were not on the list.
Yep.
But they were later found that we had two separate lists, and the lists weren't married together. And most of those had been on the list, but they weren't on the initial list that they looked at.
So I'm wondering if those three areas are just areas. All three of those areas, I remember, are areas that they addressed.
Well, I asked specifically if this was a follow-up to the initial audit, because you may recall that they had a 5-year plan to audit all school districts in the state. And then in the latest issue of the school board paper, School Board Association on board, they talked about how that plan now is done and they've completed all the audits. But Mr. Gifford indicated that this is completely independent of the previous audit. It's not an audit at all as much as it's a risk assessment. However,
the
risk assessment could lead to an audit if they come in and find something that might require additional review.
Why did we all knew that was coming, didn't we?
Yeah, pretty much.
Is there a way to track other local school districts that may have had the same kind of visit so that we can talk to them and try to get a feel for what they're...
My understanding is we're the first in our area.
Yep.
There are other schools in the state of New York, but not in this area that Mr. Pickford speaks to.
We're actually the first ones
one of two.
In this round.
Yeah.
Because now that they've completed the audit, mm-hmm. now the new round is the risk assessment.
Right.
And
we will
we're
be
selected in this area as one of the first ones.
We were way in the front in the first round, so they just got no one to want okay. to
Are there any other ones in other areas that have gone already that we could talk to?
I don't believe so, but I could certainly find out.
I think it would be hard. It seems like they target what they already saw you for, what they found at fault before. They're coming to check out to make sure that you complied.
Well, that the discussion and the letter would say that's not their purpose for coming back. So it could be, but their letter doesn't speak to that. Their letter speaks to the state education department. The comptroller's office might have some ideas after they look at how your district runs itself,
right.
that it's not collecting enough revenue that it could, and if you change some practices, you get more revenue,
uh-huh.
or that you are at risk of costing yourselves money unless you make investments in things so you don't pay long term.
We can put it in English.
That's my
First round's all done. We don't need us anymore. But if we come back and we find something, then we're back in business. Basically.
I was thinking like IT, for example. We, as the board knows, we experienced last year a virus that was not just us, but many districts around the state as well as the country. Experienced the virus that was able to get through the filters that were in place in most of those districts, including ours. And a visit by the comptroller might have suggested, I'm just hypothesizing, that with an investment in a more protective software that would screen your viruses, you could have saved yourself this cost. That's kind of what I think the IT piece is going to be like.
Yeah.
But I'm not. They didn't hire me to do it, so I'm just guessing.
Is there another level we could go to? Because I thought we were pretty high up there already. You know, as far as screening, because he had said he'd gone, you know, we've done this, we've done this, we've done this. I'm going, like, how much more can you do?
Right. I'm hoping that the visit is more of an affirmation that, whoops, we couldn't give you great ideas on how to save money and how to cut your costs. Because I think we think that we've done a pretty good job with that collectively.
Now, I did ask if this is similar to the risk assessment that we have our internal auditor do. And he basically said yes. So we have an internal auditor who comes in and does risk assessment, makes recommendations for us to do things. In the preparation for such a visit from the comptroller's office, that we could already have been working on a corrective action.
Yes. Any other questions?
As we find out more information, we'll
certainly
pass it on.
I have to say, his office is a pretty shade of green now. A new painter.
That's looking good down in the.
It does look nice. Everybody hasn't seen it. A lot of the staff has painted up their office at the district office over the week.
Yeah, been in the district office in a while. I'm going to be surprised at the changes there. It's very nice. It's looking very nice.
Oh, I have actually one other item in my.
Oh, you said one.
I know I did, but I just thought of one, and I don't think it's.
Well, you can't think of it. You just well, can't.
It's just a bullet.
I don't think it's addressed anywhere else. So
okay.
What made me think of it was the internal audit discussion. The audit committee is due to meet on March 9th of the next Tuesday board meeting.
Right.
And I spoke with Carl because we had to cancel the previous meeting. So he would like to reschedule that for that Tuesday night to come early, probably 4 Daily. O'clock, because he has a Peru
for the
board
committee
meeting
or
that
for
Tuesday.
The board?
For the audit committee.
Okay.
Because he was scheduled to meet with the audit committee.
You don't have to go.
You had to cancel that meeting.
I do.
I know. I don't care.
Will that work for the audit committee members? 4 o'clock?
Talk here?
Okay.
He's bringing food.
Pizza.
I don't think Brett is planning on coming this evening.
No, I'm done.
You're done anyway.
Oh, boy.
Giving up?
Yes, sir.
So we move to item 4, minutes. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby approve the minutes of the meeting of the Board of Education held on 2-9.
Motion, and I'll change it for anybody who wants it.
Second.
Richard?
Second.
Carol?
Carol.
Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Resolved that the Board of Education does hereby accept the minutes of the committee meeting held on 2-9, operations.
Motion.
Second.
Mayor.
Leonard Pritchard.
Comments? Questions? All in
favor? Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under 5, new business, CSE recommendations. Resolved the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approval of the CSE recommendations, which are dated 2/23/10.
Motion.
I'll second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under personnel appointments, resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends to the Board of Education approval of the following substitute appointments, beginning on the date indicated.
Full the list.
Second.
Comments? Questions?
How do you say that second name?
Waffle.
No, not that one. No, the other part of it.
The hard part.
I believe it is Chanel.
Chanel. Mm-hmm. Wow. It's the first I've ever seen that. That's why I had to ask.
I went for the easy one. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends that the Board of Education approve the following temporary on-call appointments beginning on the date indicated. This is in Dan's area.
Move the list.
Second.
Questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education following permanent civil service appointment as indicated.
Motion.
I'll second. Questions? Comments? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Congratulations to Carolyn.
Mm-hmm.
Permanent appointment. Under number 2, retirement. Resolved that the superintendent recommends to the Board of Education accept the following intent to retire on the date indicated.
Move over to.
Awesome. Frank.
Is the lunch cashier, is that a part-time? Is that a full-time part?
Full-time.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under financial, resolved that the Board of Education accept the following reports as presented by the business manager.
Move the list.
Sorry.
There we go.
Thank you. Anybody want to scrutinize? All in favor?
Aye.
Abstains? Noes? Motion carries. Under resolved that the Board of Education acknowledge receipt of the warrant report for January.
Both.
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Noes? Motion carries. Resolved that the superintendent of schools recommends the Board of Education approve the following transfers that are over $5,000.
Move the list. Transfer
being $315,915.52.
Second.
Questions? Comments? Okay. Roll call, please.
Karen Armstrong. Frank Kane.
Yes.
Leonard King.
Yes.
Dan Karofsky.
Yes.
Richard Levine.
Yes.
Ed Marin.
Yes.
Carol Race.
Yes.
Pauline Stone.
Yes.
Steve Trombley.
Yes. We're going to reverse this so we can use the budget discussion as the last item. You have in front of you a letter from Ricky Mayer, dear Board of Education. It's an ongoing effort for BES teachers. How much we appreciate that. The PTO is sponsoring a staff luncheon this Friday, February 26th, in the BES staff lounge. We would like to invite you to help serve lunch in conjunction with the kids, council, and PTO members. Please contact me if you are able to assist by email or by mobile. I assume that's a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
569-3130.
Good call. Good call. That'll work.
Okay, in the woods, but I'll double check. And Joanne said if there is somebody, she would gladly transfer that information if you want to get back to her and check your schedule for this, for that ahead of time.
It's a serve a motion for the teachers or PTO.
On Friday. Thank you.
Just call Bill or tell them.
Yep. I think I'm in the woods.
Same day as the spelling bee.
This Friday.
Yep.
We may have a snow day.
We may have it tomorrow.
tomorrow. Mr. Amo, myself, and Mr. Mayor met with the Press Republican. Mr. Mayor brought that up back in our December meeting and went forward and contacted the Press Republican. They, in turn, contacted me, and I set up a meeting. And we had that meeting last Thursday?
Yeah, the 18th.
And Ed's going to give us some highlights of that meeting.
So we met with Bob Marks, who's the president and publisher of the Press Republican, Bob Brady, who is the editor, and Lois Claremont, who is the news editor. And I think we basically opened up with some of the concerns that we have or have had over the past, whether warranted or not, just put it out on the table. And I've got a few items that I think are encompass the conversation. We talked about making sure that we have even-sided representation of any issues that either the board is participating on or the perspective of the board being a part of. Also, even representation for our school or our district, whether it's sports or anything else. Mr. Amo talked about some of the things like the merit scholarship and some and the cafeteria
scholarships
and the cafeteria capabilities, some of which they were not aware of. They did emphasize that while some, it's important to know that some things, while newsworthy to us, may not always be newsworthy to the rest of the community as a whole. Often, the first time something happens, it's news, but then as it goes on over the years, it's not the first anymore, so it's not as important. One thing that was evident was that the staff that represents the district also represents several other districts, and it does seem like they are a bit overwhelmed with a whole lot of information. So the nice thing about this meeting is it opened up direct communication between Mr. Amo and the rest of the board to the editor, the news editor, directly, so that we can provide them with information directly or concerns and so forth. One of the things that I thought that seemed really, really good out of it is that it opened up the channels of communication. They were very open and listened to everything. They did have some points of view that may not have been exactly what we thought, but we discussed those. We expressed our concerns. And I think what's in our best interest in the future is they can't put positive information out there about us if we don't give them a lot of feedback. So it's in our best interest to flood them with great news so that they have something to put into the paper. And frankly, we I, you guys correct me if I'm wrong, but it doesn't sound like we've done a great job of marketing ourselves like we could. And that could benefit us quite a bit. Anything else you guys want to add to that?
Another direction was that Lois would prefer to have the information sent to her rather
yes.
than to Mr. Bartlett.
Right.
And that was a line of communication we weren't aware of. Mr. Abel was aware of that either. That
right.
So, you know, we're putting out information, but it wasn't going to the correct person.
Well, she's Bartlett's boss, if I'm correct.
Yes.
Technically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Technically, yes. But she'd prefer to have the information go to her.
That way she sees it, at least.
Yes, and she has a chance to take a look at it, and then if there's a need, she can send Steve out to get some more information on it, or, you know, that's... But we're competing with 29 other school districts to get information in a very small area of the paper. They did say that if we're willing to pay more, they could publish more.
In other words, pay for advertisements.
We'd try to get advertisements together and
with more
come
than
up
district.
With an educational page where you would have paid
advertisements. We raised the foundation for that offer came when we suggested that perhaps there was an advantage for them as well as for our district to be able to perhaps once a month have a section in the paper that allows the area superintendents to tackle issues and do joint presentation, or take our turn, as it were, mm-hmm. but represent our districts and whatever happens to be important enough to do. They didn't think that was an impossible idea, especially if we were thinking of paying for the advertising space to do that. So.
Question.
Yes.
Is this not part of the intent of having a public relations committee? Could we turn this over to the public relations committee? I mean, not to exclude you, but in the future, you know,
to call us.
Like we were saying, like, yeah. Say they're selling the Meet Me Town cards that, you know, you get 10% off the home or whatever. That'd be something you might want to put in. We're selling, the kids are selling them. If you see them, support them. You know, come up with ideas that we could submit rather than the whole board working on it. We, you know, we're all, you know, 20 committees, everybody is, but, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Either having Scott meet with them or them meet and then see Scott or something, but then tie it into public relations, not only to the public, but to the press.
Sure.
As mm-hmm. the
well,
purveyor.
They did give us, you know, maybe we should provide it to the rest of the board. She gave us a full page of mechanisms of which we can provide them with information. I don't have that with me, but there's a whole thing. And maybe you're right. Maybe giving that to the public relations committee would be the best avenue.
Yeah.
Do we have anywhere in our budget for that? For like to pay for part of the page or whatever?
Not as a line item, no.
Well, then maybe. I mean, to me, it's a great idea. It can't cost that much.
Wow.
No, but I'm saying, though, I know a blad like that costs like $40.
Well, but there isn't.
I mean, it depends if it's on the front page or it's on the middle.
No,
you know.
There are lots.
Might give you something.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Oh.
There are lots of things, though.
Three lines.
On their website, you can, like, for $10 a day. Let's say we have something important for $10 for that day. You can have a marker going across the board of their website talking about Deacon Town's doing X. So that's, you know, pretty cheap. Mm-hmm.
But I think we should pursue it because, you know, it's a give and take thing. If we want them to give us extra consideration, and we're fighting with all these other schools, but if we're paying some money, well, we're going to be at the top of the list.
Maybe marketing should be a line item for revenue generation.
Yeah.
For the state.
Oh, wow.
It could take your attention away from other things.
Was that a rhetorical question?
Yes, it was.
No, okay. Every business, well, you know, look at it as a business. Every business, you have to set aside.
You have to spend money to save money.
You have to spend money to make money.
Right.
And if we're talking about bringing in more people to the community so that we have a better foundation for the overhead, well, it's not out of scope. I mean,
you,
I don't know.
Yeah, could you, on building on that, could you imagine if you know, you were thinking about moving into an area and you opened up the paper and there was actually a school that had stuff on it right there?
Well, how
would that not catch you out?
How much, how good you are.
Yeah,
so,
that's what I'm saying.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Our current means, as you know, of getting information out to the public, and then for a moment, only for a moment, excluding the press as an outlet,
is
what we do on our electronic board with our newsletters that go home, with our website, which we reminded
sure.
them that. But the challenge those three typical examples pose is that we are asking the representative of our news to search our outlets. And they're basically saying that's reasonably an impossible request with 29 school districts.
Right, right.
So flip the question around and say bombard us again with what you bombard yourself with, and perhaps more of those stories.
Well, let's look at it another way also. What does it cost us to send out all those mailings in a year versus putting it in the paper? You know, what's the range? How much are we spending for postage to mail all that out? You know, for how many thousands of families? Or now does the press not look so expensive compared to that? Instead of having three mailings, maybe you want one in the press. You know, I don't know how much it costs, but it'd be worth looking at. I mean, you still have to have some in the mail because not everybody reads the paper. But,
yeah.
You know, if you shake it up a little bit and put it in a different venue, it might be a wash. You might spend about the same for the book.
We bombard them with things. Who's to pick out what they feel is important?
She is.
Where if we pay, you know, then we can pick out what we feel is important.
No, it's not that we pick out what's important. They're more likely to pick us. Now, what they pick for us is that's probably not going to be
if they pay for it.
Yeah, but, you know, right. but paying for it moves you up the list. They're still going to be in charge of content. You know, you're never going to.
Not
have
if
that.
You pay for a section.
True, for what you want.
For what you want.
Yeah.
I'll follow. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I was going to say a follow up to that meeting, even though, and the gentleman wouldn't know this until this very moment, is that I was contacted the very next day by Lois, and she asked for additional information regarding Ian Dwyer's appointment, which, and basically through the request she was making, validated my concern that it had yet to be written.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the next day that there was a desire to get writing it,
right.
And so I gave lots of information and a photo about his being recently
National.
Identified as National Merit Scholarship finalist, and she sent another email confirming that she received it, thanked me for the information, and said, keep it coming, basically. So,
yeah, I kind of find it hard to justify for a district to pay for news that should be of human interest. And if it's good enough, and if it's like good examples of the National Merit Scholarship or things that we excel in, as long as we're relaying that information to Lois and to the proper channels, eventually I think it's going to make it into the papers.
Sure.
Maybe a question.
I don't know. To spend taxpayers' money on basically, you know, I think if it's good enough news, you know, just like if it's a drug bust, they're going to put it in the paper, or if there's something that occurs, like a break-in or something, that's going to make the news too. But if it's good news, eventually it's going to make it into the paper, as long as the press is aware of it. And apparently, we weren't relaying that information very effectively in the past.
That's part of it. But Mr. Barron, I think, said it earlier, that, and I agree with your assessment. There was at least a couple of comments made during about the hour that we were there that suggested our interpretation of what is newsworthy isn't necessarily
right.
theirs.
Yeah.
And so that comes even to the story I'm referencing.
Right. But to me, so, when you're one student in the whole North Country,
that's my point. This group felt very strongly about that. Yeah. It was not necessarily perceived immediately as something that would have been a big thing for them.
Frank, would it?
So that's what we had to talk through, why it is.
If it costs no more than a newsletter that we send out, would it still be a problem?
Yeah, but there are newsletters. We don't mail our newsletters. Yeah, we don't do mass mailings for the elementary newsletter or for the middle school newsletter. That goes home with the kids.
Correct.
It's not mailed, so there's no cost to the district for the newsletters that we do.
Yeah, but we do a lot of mailings during the year. I know Clyde deliver them. There's kind of we do general information to the public. Yeah,
the
I know.
Mandated ones that we have to do.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I know. But if
budget
we,
ones.
Oh, I know that. But I'm saying we do more than just budget. But my point is, though, if it's anyone that's going to be general information, and we could go to the paper, that's going to have far more coverage than just our people. And that's the point. Our people are getting that information, but the other people aren't. And that's, I think, what you're looking at. You're looking at expanding the area that the information's going out.
Yes.
So, but, okay. I mean, I don't want to spend millions of dollars either, but I mean, I can see their point over time. If you got 29 school districts buying for space, you know.
We just give them more information and they can handle it. Yes.
You know, my point is, also, like, it's like saying, you want them to do your honors students, you got 29 schools. Well, that's a lot of things to put in there.
Okay, we need to move on to our budget discussion.
We don't want
to. I don't know if he wants to start.
Let me kick it up. Okay. Fourth talking point and a starting point. It's the time of the year, as we all know. We are really no further ahead from Albany's perspective as to what, in fact, the governor's final budget will be to the extent to which the legislators support his known proposal. That's always a surprise. So we have proceeded so far in the district, assuming his latest information or the last information we received is quote the final information. And therefore began our budgeting thought process on that kind of scenario. However, as I pointed out in my update, we have some historical trends that would suggest things are going to be moving yet as we present budgets for board and eventually voter consideration. A couple of variables we don't have a lot of control over, but I'm not necessarily suggesting there's tons of money that's going to come out of these. One of them, of course, is not getting a certainty on any increases in revenue. And the reason there can be increases in revenue is the governor's proposed budget, when acted upon by the legislature, may not be the real budget. Historically, the state schools have always received more, but we're assuming we won't as we proceed through this. So my point is revenue could still come in after we do the action at the board table. How much, who knows, and no one can predict that. The other piece of that puzzle, two other pieces to the puzzle as it affects our district, of course, are what are our anticipated expenses to be in business and provide quality services for children. Those questions are what we are in the midst of deciding now. I can say initially that from a personnel point of view, we are not anticipating needing adding people. But I have to put a caveat to that to suggest that there is opportunities in the special education area that by adding people, we decrease our cost of BOCES and save money. So on paper, number of employees to a number of employees may come up a little bit in the special education area, but cost to do so will go down. So I just make that reference in the personnel area. Beyond that, our staffing and our enrollment seem to suggest that we will be holding pat on our numbers of people that we need to do the services that we're planning to do. So where do the increased costs come from? Obviously, almost 78% of the budget is benefits and salaries. So we account for that increase and roll it into a new year, and then figure out the balance of the monies needed to run the buildings and grounds and buildings and grounds and UPK, what grants are we committed to or not committed to, what is happening at the federal level with the grants as to whether or not they're going to go up or going to go down. We're all still in that guesstimating kind of mid to worst case thought process. We're trying to assume it that way. That's the second part of the three-legged stool. And, of course, the third part of that stool is fund balance. And that's in your packet. That's why I gave you the information that I did relative to our status of fund balance. And it gives you an opportunity as a board, as I was asking, and I know you will share that, the direction of how to craft this budget, given that the biggest variable we can control, or as a board you can control, is your input on fund balance. So the chart was simply intended to show you starting point and variations of contributions of the undesignated fund balance, what effect it could have as to our current, what we know to be our current tax rate, tax levy and tax rate, leading us to a point of deciding, is there a goal for the board to choose to pursue relative to tax rate, tax levy. fund balance is the biggest player in all of that, given that, as I've described to you, we're not anticipating increases in areas that are not normal increases. So that's why the chart. So I'll stop.
Well, one of my concerns is over the past years, we've always put in designated funds. But at the end of the year, we really haven't given the taxpayer anything. I think Karen has talked to you about that. I can't explain it like she can, but I would like to see this year here, we actually give back a fund balance to the taxpayer and not just make believe. So, I mean, we can say any amount, but if the tax levy ends up bringing it so that we're putting it right back into fund balance at the end of the year, we're not giving the taxpayer anything.
I think I can give you a little help with that, because I asked Ron last time, was of the $1.7 million we designated last year, did we actually use it? No, we didn't.
No.
So,
no,
I'm saying so.
Karen does a good job of reiterating that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
In her document. Thank you very much, by the way, Karen. This is very...
You're welcome.
We can understand it.
Yeah, color coded.
I think it looks like the chart that Mr. Amel put together allows us to go down to a point where we might be able to accomplish what you're saying by going further down.
Just one quick thing. Well, the only thing that I realized after doing this, it's taken me a long time because these numbers sometimes, I was on our committee, it was a nightmare learning all that because the numbers kind of drug you after a while. The only way I see that we can actually put money on there that's going to work is if we put it on the levy. So if we decide how much money we want to put on this year, that needs to be applied to the levy. Because every time we've applied it to the general fund, it doesn't get used. So the only way, so say we decide, however, say 2 million or 1 million, whatever you come up with, if we don't put that on the levy, we're not going to use it. We have to use something because they're going to be breathing down our necks. So I'm saying that whatever you guys decide to put on is fine, but it has to go against the levy. Not all of it, you know, because we, you know, I understand if you decide you want to put so much, then again, we don't know how much we're going to get from the state. You know, you don't have to put it all on the levy, but you need to put a chunk of it on the levy so that we know for a minimum we're going to use up this much money. And if times go bad, we might use a little bit more over here, but we will use this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the way we're going to have to look at it, because we have to get some of that money back.
That makes sense. Well, I have a quick question, because it's kind of hard to look at this without knowing what our bill is. You know, usually you get a bill in the mail. Has anybody put us in perspective of where we are price tag wise? What's our bottom line this year? Has that been figured up, lushed out a little bit?
I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay, what's our total budget?
Expenses.
Our total budget? Last year was 35 million, 37 million.
Yeah, they're trying to project what the overall budget would be.
Current budget or the
proposed?
Proposed.
Current, we know. Proposed.
Current budget's just over 37 million, and these numbers are based off as of 2019, just about a 2% increase over that 37 million.
And so what's that
in spending?
$700,000.
So almost $38 million would be our budget.
Just slightly under 38.
Correct.
So that includes what we know about as far as salary increases or health insurance.
It does, but not really, because health insurance hasn't been established yet.
Those are some of the variables I was trying to
reference earlier. We do have two contracts out this year.
Correct.
We have support staff and an administrator's contract that we need to at least put some parameters in.
And the other thing I think about that is
we do have that one of them accounted for.
To me, it doesn't matter. Well, it does, but it's not so important. How, you know, like it went up some, we know it would. It always does. That's acceptable, but then we still need to put the money on the levy because that's where the effect is.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I understand.
Make sure we actually.
We're impacting it.
Technically, aren't you putting it on the levy if you decide to say to put the $3 million or the the $3.5 million of them?
You know, the general fund, we've been, it doesn't have to happen.
You know, the fund balance towards the taxes. The problem that we've been running into is...
Underestimating
our assessments.
Yes,
exactly. Our assessments have been coming in. We have no control over
right,
that.
You're right, but by putting it on the levy, say for example, if I take $2 million and I put it on the levy, That's not coming
but in. But what I'm saying is, if you put 3.5, if we have a $38 million budget and we put 3.5 million, it'll affect the levy.
Correct. And the assessments.
It hasn't.
The estimate that we use
assessment
only affects the tax rate.
More money coming in than we ever
anticipated.
That's
been the problem.
But we never collect, the assessments may go up, but we never collect more money than the levy that we establish. So when the assessments come in higher,
the only place
we still collect the same amount of money, it just pushes the tax rate lower.
Yeah.
So what affects the fact that we always give back the fund balance is that we don't spend all the money that we budget.
So we need a budget last.
Which in some ways is a good thing.
And that's what we're doing.
Which in some ways is a good
thing. That's the only way you're going to affect the levy.
And then the other way is we always historically have gotten more revenue than we have budgeted.
Okay, Karen. Just hang on. Let me finish.
So, for instance, we
just tell me when it's okay for me to speak. I'm at a disadvantage because I can't raise my hand.
Okay.
We budgeted a certain amount of money.
Just a second. I got to shut my cell phone off. Okay.
For the Falcon Seaboard pilot program.
Right.
And then during the year, the pilot program got settled with giving us...
When I can speak, just tell me.
Okay.
So when the revenue came in more than we budgeted, we had excess revenue. We also received some additional state aid dollars from previous years that we had collected and they finally paid up on. So that came in the year, but we didn't budget for it because we didn't know what was coming
in. So it goes into our reserve fund.
So we historically have always collected more revenue than we budgeted for. And we haven't spent money that we budgeted for. So the combination of those two things has fed the fund balance.
Right.
And even though we've budgeted in some cases reasonable expenditures, in other cases they were completely unknown, and we always have historically put a certain amount of money into it, that has caused excess unappropriated expenditures. And so we've always fed the fund balance. And last year's budget was only a 2.5% increase, and then we didn't, I'm sorry, that would be this year's budget, but the previous year was, I think, 2.42% increase, and we didn't spend $1.8 million of it. So, you know, we estimate what expenses are going to be, we think we know on certain things, and then we don't spend it. So, in a way, it's a good thing it goes back to fund balance. We didn't go out and just wildly spend it and waste it, but we're trying to consolidate our budgetary controls. Mm-hmm. And what I've done to accommodate that this year is, in certain accounts that have historically not been spent, I'll give you an example, fuel oil. We've always budgeted on worst case scenario. We have a bad winter, we have to spend fuel oil, price of fuel goes up, we want to make sure we have it. So since I've been here, we've always budgeted the same amount every year, and I think that's been, even prior to me coming here, we always put $600,000 in fuel oil. Well, over the course of historical analysis from 2003 forward, the most we've ever spent on fuel oil was, I don't remember the exact number, say it was in the range of $400,000, even with a spike on a cold winter. So I feel comfortable knowing that I can drop that down to a reasonable level, even based off of a mean of over the last 6 years, and that's what I've done for this proposed budget. I've dropped that, where historically we carried $600,000, now maybe we're going to budget $400,000 because we know that even in the worst case scenario, we only spend about that much.
Okay.
So that's allowing us to lower expenditures, but also absorb some of the salary increases and health insurance increase. And then also this year, because of the state fiscal, the state fiscal position doesn't only affect state aid, but it affects other things like teacher retirement system contributions, where the state pension fund has seen a drop in their valuation. So what they do is they spike the rate the district pays back up. So, you know, we're seeing increases there. So that increase has to come in, and then the decrease comes in, and then where we're sitting right now, as of this presentation, is just over 2% increase. A lot of things could still shake loose, and that number could go up or could go down. What we don't know yet is the revenue side. But it's where we are now, and that's the snapshot that we have now. And those are the numbers that are based here, and that allows you to look at that sliding scale of how much fund balance you use in order to affect then the tax levy and the tax rate.
Yes. Okay, Karen.
Okay, I'm sorry. I have difficulty hearing Ron. I hear his voice, but often I can't determine what is being said. So I apologize if I'm differing or not agreeing, okay? It's because I can't hear. But I just wanted to share my point of view as a board member. I think if we establish a fund balance or a tax rate at this point, we're backing into a process. In my opinion, we need certain things before we arrive at how much fund balance we possibly want to apply. And that would be to arrive at our total estimated budget. We have some known factors. We have our known other revenue from 2008-2009. We should be in a position at this point to pretty well know where we stand 2009-2010, although things are still probably uncertain, but we should be able to position ourselves so that we can estimate what our other revenue will be for our 2010-2011 budget. When we have that information, plus we should be able to come up with an estimate of fund balance that will be left from this 2009-2010 year. When we have that information, then I think at that point, we as a board could then offer a suggestion of how much fund balance we feel should be applied, and the result then would generate a tax levy for us. That's just my opinion.
I have no problem with that at all.
Yeah.
The data, thank you, Karen. We talked a couple, almost I guess a week and a half or so ago. I was very comfortable then with that assessment. What we would be presenting then is a cost, what we know about revenue and what we know about our cost to run our district budget as we would propose it. Then the board would make a decision what you wanted to do with fund balance to get to wherever you wanted it, the fund balance to be left to be, and what the effect it would have on tax rate. Through the chart, we're simply trying to give you a barometer of what those ranges might look at if the proposed budget was 2% over next year. If it's higher than 2%, the line slides up. Or if it's less than 2%, obviously the line slides another direction. This was just to give you the starting point, the talking points of is there an interest, it seems like there is, to make a to have conversations around larger contribution of undesignated fund balance for the next budget. That's really the focal point of the question. Well, and if there is, you'll decide what that amount is when I bring you that proposed budget.
I have one question. When we look at what we budgeted last year for 2009-10, which will be ending in June.
Correct.
We budgeted a certain dollar amount, $37 million, whatever. Yep. I don't know what the... And if we only expended $34 million or $35 million, then we technically over-budgeted by $2 million.
Technically, that's correct.
Am I correct?
Either
so we should be looking at that.
Either,
and
well,
so
we are.
Why would we have a 2% increase over 37 if we under-budgeted by $2 million
because
this
year? Because the answer would be there isn't an overestimate of $2 million. It's a combination of underestimating revenues and expenses. And what
but
we're trying to do.
It's a combination of both. And we should
that's what I'm saying. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. I'm open to anybody who does have a better sense of what the revenue really is going to be from the legislature when it comes to our district. But having said that, we know, as Karen's pointed out, we know in February, we'll know better March, and we obviously know in April, what is still in the accounts from this year's budget that we do not need to be spending.
Or we won't be spending.
But if we don't spend it, it goes to fund balance, and then your number is going to change on how much fund balance you apply to next year. At the same time, we're getting tighter, as Ron said, on looking at trends and patterns of expenditures and assuming they're not going to increase. Fuel oil is a simple example.
Or
a $225,000 swing just in fuel oil. Maybe that's been too aggressive. Maybe it has a reason to for 5 years to be worried about it. But then again, it's always been in there at that level. So we're taking a much more, careful look at what we're requesting in the first place, given the histories of how we've run the district for the past several years and what actually was turned back. what portion of what was turned back wasn't due to revenue, put another way.
Right.
What portion of what was turned back was due to not needing it.
Right.
We're into that, those line items, making the decision now. We're going to reduce this, reduce this, reduce this. We still can't control the revenue piece. That's one part of it. Then the second part of it is, if we have monies left over this year in some of those accounts, and we would otherwise be needing to purchase those items, we want to purchase them now. So there isn't that chunk of fund balance to kick back at the end of the year, even while we reduce next year's budget line item by line item. Does that make sense?
Yes. Okay. Well, one of the things I want to say... Oh, go ahead.
Yes. The only point I want to make is that if we change the process on how we're doing like our maintenance things. I know in the last 4 or 5 budgets we've done things pretty tight. We haven't replaced a lot of equipment to the point where it seems to me we've had money left over every year, but we still haven't purchased any new equipment. And then in the middle of this year, we need a new sander. Now, to me, you should be able to see that a sander is rusty now and project that you're going to need that without having to come in the middle of a budget year. Then we had a problem with two vehicles. Now, if there's repairs that need to be done on those, that's something you can't anticipate. But coming and saying, okay, this vehicle is totally shot, that's something we should have been able to anticipate.
Yes.
My question is, are we kind of getting on top of that a little bit better to know what equipment do we need, and making sure that we're replacing the equipment as it's needed to be, not saying, okay, this is going to be a bad budget year, we got to be tight. We've done that for like 4 years in a row. We can't let stuff get so far into disrepair that now all of a sudden we've got to fork out $3-4 million. I realize that's a huge scenario, but I mean, a lot of money. This is something we should be able to project ahead of time. If we've got money left this year, maybe we better sure that we have stuff we need.
Yeah, with what
you're saying, I understand.
The challenge on the equipment piece is that the leftover monies can't be used for the equipment.
It's got to be budgeted.
So we have to budget
for it. Right, and that's why I'm saying we need to look down the road a little bit.
Just for general information so you will know that.
This has to be replaced next year.
Yeah.
I can't say...
comfortably, Steve, and therefore I won't attest to it, that we have an equipment maintenance replacement plan cycled out far enough for us to say 2 years from now
we need
to throw money in, because this is probably going to need to be repaired.
Let's have a 5-year plan.
On equipment alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
But one of the things I want to say about one of the trucks, we shot down a truck last year because it was unreasonable to request for it.
Right, I realize that.
I mean, maybe they should have came back with something reasonable that we could have accepted, and then we would only had one truck that went out this past year. And this is the thing, they got to keep things reasonable so we can accept them. We can't go...
And buy a Ford, not a Cadillac.
Well, I didn't want to say any special type, but keep them within a range.
Right. That's what we want, but we also don't want to come in the middle of the budget year.
No. The other thing is, I hope we don't start spending money that we don't need to spend.
Exactly. And I can tell you, is what we don't want to be doing just to make the books come out to zero.
Right. Exactly.
Nobody in the district is getting that direction sense or making the assumption that's the plan. It's simply that if we know there's adoption of this, or you were going to get furniture, but you were going to kind of wait and see if you could go another year without it, this is a year when you don't have to wait, because we're going to otherwise be putting more money back into the fund balance. Empty the tanks on the legitimate purchases that you would otherwise be asking for next year.
Right.
So next year's budget doesn't have to show those numbers, and we can spend what we can this year and not keep feeding the fund balance.
One of the things I want to say, you brought up furniture. I think there's a lot of furniture in the past years that has been bought that wasn't necessary anyway. I think some of the stuff that came out of them buildings, if you look at it, they really could have stayed with what they had. And so I think we need to also be careful on people buying furniture and stuff. There's been an awful lot of furniture.
Can we focus then more on the critical educational pieces?
Yes,
instead of hardware, more about teaching at different levels to improve our education? Because that's going to cost less in the long run.
I'll give another opinion.
Okay.
I'll come back to you. Okay.
2 points.
Richard.
It seems to me that no matter what we do, we always have money left over. Why don't we just say we'll leave the budget the same it was last year, knowing it's going up $600,000? Well, there goes $600,000. If it's accurate, there goes $600,000 of our excess right there. My point is, we keep raising the budget and we don't use all the money. You know what I'm saying? If you held the line at the budget of last year and then go at it, well, then you know you're going to use some because you're going up. But if you raise the budget, you take another chance that $600,000 there.
Well,
isn't going to get used.
Yeah, but it also comes to, and correct me if I'm wrong, but from all the changes that I've been seeing between Mary and Rock in the department, it seems like the tools to be better, more knowledgeable on the finance and the budget are growing. I mean, is that a correct assessment? Do you feel better apt to doing a better budget this year than 2 years ago?
Yes. One thing that we've done, and I've got it not in the spreadsheet we passed out, but I've been here now, this is my fifth year I'll be here, my fifth budget cycle. And even though we've had excess each year, but each year that I've been here, we've trimmed that excess back by a couple hundred thousand each year. Had we done that in 1 year, it could have been catastrophic as far as a $2 million slice to the budget, and then the next year, $1 million increase. So we've been trimming the budgetary controls each year. We've been doing it cautiously and responsibly. Even though we do return money to the fund balance each year, as Leonard had mentioned, we're not going out and wildly spending it on useless things. We're maintaining our controls and we're tightening the belt each year down to a usable, and the end result is that we're adding to the fund balance, which, as the state fiscal crisis has occurred, it's ending up putting us in a good financial position because we've had small increases each year. Each year, also, the tax rate has lowered, and the tax levy has only gone up by small percentages each year. Compared to our surrounding school districts, whose budgets are larger than ours, and their districts are smaller, and they're not returning money to the fund balance. So our fiscal management is...
That's kind of apples and oranges, though. They raised assessments like 4 years in a row. So when you lower the levy, that isn't a big accomplishment when the assessments are going up.
Well, you got to look at cash out of pocket. That's what you have to look at. But what I wanted to mention earlier, if I may.
Yes, this is a good time to add on.
If you recall, probably three and a half years ago, was the summer right before Mr. Amo got here. When we established the tax rate in August, the board decided to add additional money from fund balance to the levy to lower the levy. You got to keep in mind that when the voters vote on a budget, they vote on the budgetary expense. They're voting on the expense, and they're voting on the
They're not voting on a tax levy. They're voting on what we expect.
Right. And so at the end of the year, when we close out the books on June 30th, and Karen, can you hear me okay? No?
Probably not, Ron.
It's my voice.
Karen, are you still there?
I'm here.
Oh, can you hear Ron okay?
I'm sorry, I can't.
Yeah.
Okay.
Can you bring it over here?
That's okay. When we close out the books on June 30th, if we have put additional money back in the fund balance before we set the tax rate, we could throw more money towards it and thereby lower the tax rate again. We did that that summer when Mike DiRigo was in term here, we I think put in another $500,000 or $750,000. I don't remember the number, but you recall we did that.
I think it was $750,000.
Right. I think we went from $750,000 to $1.5 million, and then in essence we gave the taxpayers back another additional $750,000. So that's always an option to look at after the budget's been established. If we've got additional money left over this year, we can put more money towards the levy, which is what Mr. Levine was speaking about, put it towards the levy.
Yeah, because what I'm saying is, I know what you're saying, but when you lower the tax rate 89 cents, someone's taxes go up $100.
Oh,
yeah. We lowered the tax levy, we raised your taxes. I mean,
we didn't raise taxes.
No, I know, but what I'm saying is, we still got it.
We don't control the assessments.
I know, but my point is, though, because of that, and the other thing I want to clarify, I didn't mean, Scott, that I want you not to get your 2%. I was just saying about how to offset it. I didn't mean not to.
No, I didn't. I didn't interpret
that. And there was something else, too, that Mr. Hay alluded to, is when you have leftover money at the end of the year, it's going back towards fund balance. Why is the budget next year going up? And the reason is because if you look at, I know it's hard sometimes to talk about numbers. We talk about numbers out in the air somewhere, but they are real. And if you look at your budget, where close to 80% of your budget is salaries and benefits, if your benefits are going up 6%, your teacher's retirement and employee retirement is going up an additional amount, and then you're negotiate salaries, say 5% increase. So 80% of your budget is going up 5%, 6%, and maybe another 5% of the other benefits. A $37 million budget going up 5% is an easy $1.6 million, $1.5, $1.6 million. The governor's proposal is saying that we're going to be another $150,000 short in state aid, and you got $1.6, $1.7 million increase. So this budget that we're presenting is only $600,000 increase. We're already absorbing $1 million.
Right.
And so it doesn't seem like we are, because you figure, well, you put money back. But when those expenses go up so much, and then you're only bringing $600,000 increase, you are absorbing already $1 million. And that's why each year we're shrinking that amount each year to where it's a usable dollar.
We don't realize how much it really takes us to get zero, is what you're saying.
Correct.
It's just to stay where you were and take $1 million plus.
And the other thing is, if we cut the budget, and I'm all for trimming the budget tightly, but then when we get into the year and we find additional expenditures come up,
you can't transfer it.
We can't spend the money.
Well, it's happened in this board, in this district before. They had to borrow money to finish out the year. This was a long time ago.
Mm.
But when they decreased the budget, they hadn't settled contracts. Contracts came in settled. And then they ended up borrowing, I think, almost $800,000 to finish out the year. Because they couldn't...
Cut it too fine.
They cut it way too fine.
Well, and I agree, but the only thing we got to do is we got way too much fund balance, and if we don't show that we're doing something with it, sooner or later they're going to be honest.
Well, I think what he said was when we set our budget and we look at the fund balance over the summer. Well, I won't be here, but you guys will be. When you look at the fund balance over the summer, we could do what we did 3 years ago. If we have an excessive fund balance of, say, $3.5 million, and we want to get it down to where it should be, we could throw another million or $1.5 million of the fund balance on the tax, on the levy, and lower that tax rate. I think every hundred thousand
is about
a dime for every 100,000.
It's a percentage point. So I mean, if you put $500,000, you're not lowering that tax rate by 5%.
50 cents.
Yeah.
Okay, Karen, you wanted to come back with one.
Yes, I just want to share an opinion. We have to be careful not to set too tight a ground rules as far as a total budget. We always have to be able to address, let's say, emergencies as they arise in the district.
What
my thought process, and I'm just using examples here, let's say after we get into our process that the board was willing to put $2 million toward the support of the next year's budget. And let's pretend we have an estimate at the end of this school year that we're going to have $1 million left over. My thought process is that we allow flexibility, and this is only an example, we allow flexibility in the total budget by that $1 million. Because now instead of applying $2 million, we apply $3 million in this process. But the million, in essence, would not be spent unless there was an emergency. And if it was spent, it would come out of the fund balance, not be raised in the taxes. Is that, Stan, did I do okay explaining that?
Yes. Yeah,
okay.
We follow that.
And let me see. There was one other quick item I wanted to... mention. If I think of it before the discussion is done, I'll ask again.
Okay.
Thank you.
Well, I think we've
beat this up pretty good.
Yeah.
And it's the beginning basis of this. We have a lot more of this to go, but I think we've given good ideas and direction, I hope, to...
Dan?
Yes?
I remembered what it was.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
My thought process on our fund balance is that we have to strike a balance where we don't fly too much because we want to be able to support our future budgets over time. Just how far out we want to go, that's the question.
Yeah. We can't just dump it all.
We have to be careful. We want to apply enough so that it has an effect, but I don't think we want to go too far out in 1 year. Right. We have to plan maybe for 3 years or so down the road.
Yeah.
Because as we tighten up our budget each year, that opportunity to build fund balance to put something back will go away.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, could we do either a 3-year or 5-year projection out and call and plan that way? So instead of saying I just want $2 million put on there, what's our balance as at the end of this year? And in 5 years, what kind of a percentage would we like to sustain?
It's going to be, to do that, it's based on some understandings of big assumptions.
Mm-hmm. Too many big assumptions.
There are big assumptions to be able to do that. Assumption of what revenue will look like over the next 2 to 3 years. Assumption on what state aid as a factor of revenue is going to be over the next 2 or 3 years. And then an effect of what's the insurance rate going to be over 2 or 3 years. If we pick, if we can present numbers. Mm-hmm. Numbers aren't hard, but they're
accurately.
What I mean is, if we like say this year, we know how much money we have, and we know where they want us. You know, they want us at 4%. Do you have to be exactly 4%? I don't think so, but you can't be 11, 12. And you know, saying if you get a rough estimate of what you're going to have to use, then you can plan to use that over a couple, 2-3 years. Without knowing what's coming in, at least you're showing that you're utilizing what you have excess.
And that's what I'm seeking. Yeah. You know, in the bottom line, that's what the chart is a pictorial way of addressing that issue. As Karen has said in many different ways, and we've all talked about it tonight, if we're going to lower, if a portion of the goal is to lower the undesignated fund balance, and we can't predictably control revenue coming in. The only variables we have to control are how close we cut the budget in the first place and how large amount of fund balance we apply to it.
Yeah. Well, personally,
and then we learn from that experience and we do another year based on learning from that year.
Personally, I don't think having $1 million left over 10 years is a bad thing. I mean, to me, that's reasonable.
It's a good problem.
Yeah, I mean, that's what, $1 million out of $37 million, that's not a big percentage. I don't have a problem with that. But when you're coming back with 3 or 4, then you really.
Our colleague districts are having a very different conversation than we are.
Yeah.
To put it very simply, they're struggling with not having an opportunity to talk about fund balance. At the same time, all these other costs that I've mentioned are their costs as well. So we're in a very unique position because, in part, because there's enough fund balance to apply to the problem each year. Can we get better at predicting what a bigger or right amount should be? That's what we're trying to do, and we'll continue to do that. But in 2 years, I said this, you may recall, board members will recall, I said 2 years ago, we have about a 2-year window where our fund balance and our budget to our voters will be something that I think our voters, as they've proven, have supported the budgets for those periods of time because we could apply amounts of money to it and they perceived the quality of the program was worth the cost to do business. If the state of New York's economy doesn't change in the next 2 years, we will be, because we've taken the fund balance, the chunks that we have, we will be where our neighbors are now. And that won't be a function of the district's problem, quote unquote, that it didn't do something. It's in fact you've stalled that from occurring for 2 to 3 years.
I think the other thing is that we really got the thing to look at also from another perspective is are we looking at just, I think we're looking past just paying the increases. You know, instead of, are we seriously looking at reducing the tax or keeping it at zero? And I think at this juncture, we're looking at keeping it below zero because we have excess funds. Because $1 million is it would keep it at zero. And I know we wouldn't want to do more than that. But where do we want to be? Because to me, I know it's saying that, but the 15, to me, it's easy looking at percentage. Do you want to lower the taxes 5%, 2%, 1%, and then look at that? Rather than say, I want to lower it 2 million without knowing so much what it does to the tax rate. I mean, how much I think can.
Well, I think that's what Karen was suggesting, yeah, is that we build the budget as what we think it costs to do business,
right,
for this next year. Mm-hmm. And we're very close to be able to, we literally could have done that pretty much tonight, but I chose and I told Ron not to worry yet because we needed to have this conversation. But it does not take a long time for us to take what we project to be our cost to do business next year, throw them into the computer, hit the button, and say, here, with no increase of any fund balance from any year to year, this is what we anticipate. Remember, Ron always talks about assumptions. The assumptions are the revenue is this, and the assumptions are the health insurance is this. If those assumptions hold true, we can tell you pretty closely what it would cost to do business next year. It's then your challenge at that point is to, among others, is to say, well, how much of an increase on the levy is that? How much in the tax rate is that? And do we want it to be those numbers? If not, how much fund balance do you want to apply to it so it's not those numbers?
Right.
And that's how I understand our task to be.
Yeah, but again, just to put it a different way, is when we look forward, I want everybody to think about it, is do you want to lower it, let's say, a couple percent for 2-3 years, or do you want to lower it that time and then lower it again? Everything has a different impact of what we put on it. You need to think, do we just want to lower it once and keep it there, or do you want to lower it and lower it? That's a whole different...
We've lowered it for 2 years running.
Right.
The opportunity to continue, even if we picked a number of years we wanted to lower it, I'm keep coming back to the state. If the state's business does not improve to give back to schools the original funding contributions they promised us, we're talking beneath the original now. If they don't even get back to the original, your capacity to stay away from increasing taxes shrinks considerably over the next 2 years.
Yeah, but
something will have to change on the tax rate.
We've lowered the rate. We didn't lower taxes.
I know. But if you want to stay after and continue...
I've been bad.
Okay. That's ground we have covered. Okay. I'm kind of concerned with the weather outside.
Well, I think it's nice to have a little more than a little less.
Yes, always.
Because you never know what's going to happen in this economy.
A little more fund balance.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Okay.
Special ed costs, you never know.
Yeah.
Great roundtable discussion. We'll need to. Yes, I forgot.
That's all right. I don't really have too much tonight.
Okay.
Not a lot has happened since the last time we met, because since we've been on winter break, we only had that week before and now this week. Coming up is Beamingtown Model United Nations, where this Thursday, our school, we have, I think, Shazy, NCCS, and Sable are also coming, and we do kind of like a little Model UN here. It's a debate throughout the day, and then it's kind of in preparation for the bigger one at NCCS. Right now, it's sectionals time for sports, and after the girls' volleyball are in NCCS playing against PHS for the finals, I believe. I know hockey, we have our game Thursday, that's semifinals, and I believe basketball has a game very soon also. Other than that, over winter break, I don't know if any of you noticed, but the mural outside the cafeteria was repainted. It was done, I know specifically two students, Laura Menard and Sarah LeClaire, did it. I'm not sure if any other students helped out. I'm sure there could have been. But if you get a chance, you should definitely check it out. It's pretty cool. And other than that...
And that's just as a reminder, Brett, that's located... As the board members leave tonight, some of you will be actually able to pass by there if you take a detour, and that's right across from the cafeteria.
Yep, that's
right in this wall here, right?
Yeah, pretty much.
Right there at the cafeteria. It's well worth not just the visit, but a few seconds of reflecting on what you're looking at. It's pretty special.
And that's all I have.
Thank you.
Perfect. And you have a book, I believe.
Oh, yep, and I got the book that you guys are reading on Monday.
And you haven't read it yet.
I've started it. I'm in the first chapter, trying to find time to read it around schoolwork, but so far it's really interesting and it's kind of neat to read about. So
you'll be a part of the conversation next
month. Yeah, I definitely have a lot of input, I can see.
Okay, I will reopen the floor for any other public comments. Okay, if you don't have any, I'll move. If you need a clerk pro tem,
I nominate you as well.
Second
time. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? Noes? Motion carries.
Make a motion to go into executive session.
Second.
Mm-hmm. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstain? To discuss a particular person's employment history in the Beavertown Support Staff Association contract negotiations.
Take it.
Oh, did we vote on that?
Not yet. All in favor?
Aye.
Abstained? Noes? Motion carries. We will go into the second session.